comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous planet we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show, and for those of you joining us for the very first time, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. Two or three announcements here that we need to make, and then we are open line tonight. Boy, have I got some hot items to bring to you tonight. If you are not subscribed to the K-Files e-zine, be sure you do that. It's our free weekly newsletter. The K-Files e-zine is so easy to subscribe to. You just go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Click the button that says K-Files e-zine. Subscribe. You get a confirmation email. Click the link, and that activates your subscription. Now, once in a while, I get email from someone who says, oh, I subscribed, you know, but for the past 3 weeks I haven't been getting it. I've been saying this now for, I think, 9 years. If your email address kicks back a K-Files e-zine 3 times, and that can happen in one edition because our software tries to send it, if it gets kicked back, it goes to the end of the list. It tries to send it again. If it gets kicked back, it goes to the end of the list. It tries to send it again. If it gets kicked back the third time, the software deletes your subscription. Now, we do that to make sure that we cannot justifiably ever be accused of spamming anyone. So even if you subscribed and you were getting it, if you're not getting it now, you're not subscribed. That's just about as simple as it is. I don't know how to make it any simpler. And it's not anything you did. But if your server, if your email server was down or overloaded when all 3 attempts were made, you got deleted. Now, you might say, well, that's no good. Maybe not, but I don't get accused of spamming. And we won't be. Okay, so you might need to resubscribe. Another thing, I get emails from people saying, you know, I subscribe, but I'm not getting the K-Files e-zine. And the reason for that is we send it, and you have a spam filter that is installed that says we have to click a link in order for that to go through. Well, yes, we use the same device when you subscribe, but that's you subscribing to one newsletter. If we have to go through and click all the links of everyone that's doing that, that's subscribing, that could be, you know, a whole day's work for somebody. Consider, you're not the only subscriber. And so if you've got one of those, you might want to open up a different email account on a different server somewhere and not have that installed. And that way you'll be getting the K-Files e-zine. Okay, so there's no way we can go through and click all those links to, you know, and look for all of those and try to, you know, confirm all of those, and we can't do it. So, you know, if you want the K-Files e-zine, we want you to have it. It is, however, up to you to take away the obstacles for it getting to you. Okay, we'll be back right after this message, and we've got some hot items to talk about. Now, I got to tell you, one of the things I like about Open Line, one of the things I like about doing the show, I love hosting this show. But one of the things I really like about it is when we go Open Line. And one of the things I like about Open Line Night is that I get to hear from you. I get to hear your thoughts, your perspectives, the things that are important to you. And we learn from each other. It's a little bit like going to college in the world of UFOs and paranormal. And we get to exchange ideas. I love it. We're going to do that. But I've got a couple of things I want to present first and put on the table for you first. And the first one, what you need to do, if you've got any salt in the house, go get a big rock of salt and take this with a big grain of salt. It is true, however, I will be my usual acerbic self. I've got a question for you, a couple of questions. Do people listen, actually listen anymore? Do they have their minds in gear, or have they rented them out to someone else? Do they hear what is said, or do they just react from unrestrained emotion? Now, before I get to this, I had one call last night where the caller referenced, and this is not a criticism, the caller referenced that, in fact, it is my usual tack to say nail emotions to the wall and go just with logic. No, never. I've never said that. I've never said anything like that. And what I have said is that if you allow your emotions to drive your life, you'll run off the cliff. That's like saying, and then people say, oh, well, then you don't think emotions are important. No, see, that's like saying my children are not important. My little five-year-old son is excessively important to me, very important to me, so important to me, I will not let him drive the car. Your emotions are important. They were never designed to run your life. Your mind is what's designed to run your life. Your mind, you have to overrule your emotions sometimes. If you don't, your emotions will get you killed. Well, one real quick example. Someone, you know, we got a big, big problem out here in the Phoenix area with home invasions. Had a guy last night was killed in a home invasion. People just break in the house while you're home. So there you are. Someone breaks in the house. You don't have any way to defend yourself, so you hide. And you're just scared, you're terrified, you feel like screaming. You feel like screaming. But if you do, you'll give away your location and you'll die. You have to run your emotions. You can't let your emotions run you. All right, now, having said that, the answers to all the questions that I just asked, do people listen anymore? Do they have their minds in gear, or do they just react from unrestrained emotion? The answer, if you have any doubt, just go over to my channel at YouTube and click on the latest video that I've uploaded. It is just a report where I'm explaining that the moon rock that the astronauts gave to the Prime Minister of the Netherlands has now been discovered to be petrified wood. Now, I said in the conclusion of this, at the end of the video, I said there's three possible conclusions. One, of course, you could say, well, then that proves that the moon landings were hoaxed. I don't think it does, but that's one conclusion you could draw. Two, the moon landings were real. And there's petrified wood on the moon. I don't think there is, but that's one conclusion you could draw. Or three, someone absconded with the real moon rock and replaced it with this petrified wood. Now, and I said, I haven't decided which of those is correct, but I just present the facts. You decide. Okay, go read the responses. It's like Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. By Zeus's beard, some of these folks are so off the rails, I don't think they'd recognize reality if it bit them in the arse. Now, some of the responses were really good, you know, reasonable, thoughtful. But some of them, look, so a number of these pseudo-smart people accused me of secretly working for NASA because I won't just come out and say it's a hoax. Another group of the Gray Matter Challenge simians accused me of being on the side that it is a hoax and lambasted me for that. Now, these people presumably get out in public sometimes and presumably carry out some sort of social interaction, and that presents a huge problem for the rest of us. But you may be saying, well, just what kind of a huge problem does that present? Well, here it is. Let's say that there really are highly advanced, intelligent extraterrestrials. I don't have a problem with that. And let's say that some of them are human-looking, because that's what we hear. We hear people say that. Now, how are we ever going to be able to identify human-looking extraterrestrials, which are presumably a higher life form, when we can't even properly identify these human-looking amoebas? People do not listen. They hear what they want to hear. Listening to me right now, there are people hearing what they want to hear. They're not hearing what I'm saying. And I know part of the problem here, part of the problem is you're so used to dissimulation. You're just used to people not being open, honest, straightforward, and telling the truth. You assume whenever you see a politician speaking that you're hearing a lie. You assume that. You assume that you're hearing someone who will change his view depending upon what crowd, what day of the week, and what the polls say. And you assume the same thing about TV personalities. You see them get on TV and say, don't use drugs, drugs are bad, never use drugs. And then next week you're reading about them dying from an overdose. You're used to dissimulation, but you got to get used to something else on this show. You got to get used to the fact that if I say A, I didn't mean A plus or A minus or B or anything else. If I said A, I meant A. Now, the other night I had as my guest Richard Hoagland. I've gotten quite a bit of email about this. And during that broadcast, I made mention of the fact that plans, there were a couple of items, that the NASA plans to create a big crater on the moon, and Richard took issue with that. Now, I wish I had the printed hard copy of the report that I was quoting from, or that I was referring to. I didn't quote from it, I was referring to it. But the person that was being quoted in that report works for NASA on that project. I think it's the team leader. And used those words that, you know, it'll make a big crater, and the stuff that blows out of that crater we plan to analyze as it blows out of the crater. Now, they're not going to be using explosives, but it still will cause ejecta out of the ground. That's how you get a crater. I don't have that in front of me. I looked for it. I couldn't find it. I don't have it. But that is what was said. It'll be a big crater. I guess that's a relative term. Richard says, you know, it's only going to be 50 to 55 feet across. Okay. It's bigger than a breadbasket. You can put a couple of buses in it. I also referenced that the Indian satellite that was going around the moon dropped off of radar. Now, I went back and dug up the report that's from. Now, there's some interesting stuff happening here. Right? Before I get into that report, I want to show you something. All right? I don't know if you can see. I've got some notes right up there. Okay, you can see right there, if you're looking at KSS-TV, it says that it's a CNN report. Okay, so that's the source on this. The source on this is CNN. It is a CNN report. It is the hard copy of the report. And I said that the Indian satellite dropped off the radar. They didn't just lose communications. They lost radar contact. It just disappeared off of radar. And Richard took issue with that. Now, he may be exactly correct. I'm not taking issue with Richard. I'm simply, I want to clarify for you where my information comes from. The report that I just held up to the camera, this report, okay, that's the report. I quote from it. And by the way, this report is a report written by Harmeet Shah Singh. And I'm about to quote Satish, who is a spokesman for the Indian Space Agency. And he said, I quote from right here, quote, "We are exploring the possibility of making a request to the United States and Russia to help locate it since they have powerful radars," end quote, Satish said. Later in this article, not quoting, but just giving data about the situation, there is this paragraph written by Harmeet Shah Singh, supposedly, and published by CNN. Here it is. "In 312 days, it completed," speaking about that satellite, "it completed more than 3,400 orbits around the moon before vanishing off the radars," according to the space agency. So according to the Indian Space Agency, in this CNN report, two times they reference this satellite vanishing off a radar. Now, Richard Hoagland said there are no radar instruments that are capable of tracking anything as far away as the moon. So, are you listening? Be listening now. Don't hear what you want to hear. Hear what I say. There are only two or three possibilities here. By the way, this report, I looked for it. As far as I can find on the internet, this report has been pulled, and all references to radar are missing from the reports that are on the internet now. So here's the possibility. One, the Indian Space Agency was misquoted, and they never really said anything about radar at all. Two, they were not misquoted, but by making the statement that they made about radars, they let a cat out of the bag that such radars do exist, that the United States and Russia have them, more powerful than the ones the Indians were using, which admits the Indians have them. And they are able, with radar, to track things in moon orbit. That's another possibility. They just sort of let it slip, something that wasn't supposed to be public knowledge for some reason. The third possibility is that Harmeet Shah Singh made all that up. And I don't think that's the case. That's most likely not the case. But all references to radar in the reports that are on the internet now, the ones that I found today, there may be some that are still out there, but I didn't find them. I looked for this specific report and could not find it. It apparently has been pulled. But this is the report that to which I was referring that says radars, United States and Russia, they have powerful radars. And so maybe the Indian Space Agency will ask these two countries to help them locate their satellite. And then down here later in the article, it says that the satellite made 3,400 orbits around the moon before, and I'm quoting from the report, before vanishing off the radars. All right, well, you just have to wad that up, shred it, put it in your pipe, smoke it, and decide what flavor it is. I don't know exactly what the story is here, but I do know the satellite's missing. I do know that the initial report twice referenced radar. I do know that Hoagland says there are no radar that can track things around the moon. And I do know that this report referencing radar apparently has been pulled off of the internet. It's not available now, but I have the hard copy of it right here. So, like I said, I don't really know what all of that's about, but there is one other thing I do know, and a couple of other things I know, and that is this Indian satellite is said to have confirmed the U.S. moon landings by photographing the landing site and exploration site of Apollo 15. And apparently it's high resolution three-dimensional photographs, even got pictures of the tracks in the lunar dust that were left by the moon buggy that the guys were driving around. So that's a pretty interesting development there. And there's one more interesting development about the moon that hit the news today. I'll tell you about that when we come back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we have one more little tidbit that I'm going to share with you. You know, I've been telling you now for about a year and a half, 2 years, I've been talking about this new race to the moon. I said everybody that can build a rocket is headed to the moon. What's up? And the question is, I think a good question. The question is why? It can't be because you want to be the first to get there. That's already been done. Can't be because you want to be the first to land there. That's already been done. Can't be because you want to be the first to put men there. That's been done. So what's the deal? Germany has announced that by 2015, they just may be sending a mission to land on the moon. Why? All right, this is Open Line Live. We will talk about the things that are on your mind. If you want to comment on a show, you want to comment on a guest, that's perfectly all right. If you want to share with us some strange and unexplained paranormal experience that you've had, that's okay too. It is Open Line Live, and the telephone numbers are 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. If you live outside the USA and you live outside of Canada, You can call those numbers if you like, but you may also use our flash message feature on the website. Just go to my website. You'll scroll down and you'll see a link that says flash message. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. And for some reason, we do not have the caller. Okay. I hope there's not something wrong with the equipment. It appears to be working right. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Well, then, I don't know what to say about this. I'll tell you what we can do. That's two calls, and I bet the caller can hear me, but that's two calls that have come in where I can hear, I see the little light flash, and I put the caller on hold, and then for some reason they're not coming up whenever I punch the button to bring them on the air. So, tell you what we'll do. We're going to play a song while I investigate the problem. And after I investigate this problem, we will... Let's try one more time. Okay, caller, your first name and from where are you calling? No idea. And I haven't changed anything. Nothing has moved. Nothing's been changed. It's exactly as we used it when we did the show last night. Oh, the slings and arrows of live radio. All right, we'll see what we can do with this, and we'll just play this little song, and I will be back in a moment.
I wanna write a song to prove no one can escape the truth. In bits and bytes or final grooves, I want more than just music that makes me move. Still, it's always hard.
All right, we're going to give it a try. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? All right, now that's not working, so we're going a whole different route. Just hang in there. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. All right. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to give this another try. And I'm going to be answering the telephone manually. And we're going to just bypass the so-called broadcast equipment that runs the telephone. We'll give it another try. We'll see how this works out. Okay, callers, give it a try, and we'll see what happens. Caller, you are live. Well, that didn't work. Yeah, well, okay. More music. I hate this, folks, but I didn't mess with the stuff. That's just the wonders of doing live radio, folks. There you go. We're doing it the old-fashioned way. I plugged in a speakerphone, and I've got a microphone on the speakerphone. We'll see how that works. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario. How well can you guys hear me?
We can hear you fine.
Okay, yeah, that's been me that was trying to call in there, and I don't know what's going on here. All these problems made me lose my train of thought.
Well, see if you can catch your train of thought. We're burning air time.
Okay, I'm talking about the moon. And, you know, every time I look at pictures of the moon, especially when I start doing research on moon structures, I always come up with some pretty good pictures. Well, although a lot of it is obviously blurred out, you can obviously see 90 degree angles all over that moon. Either something that's been there for a long time, or it's something that has been going on with the secret space program. And I wouldn't discount either of them. We've heard reports from we've seen videos on YouTube where they got some of the Apollo astronauts going through the buildings that are already on the moon, and on all the way to Robert Dean's interview with Project Camelot last year, where he states that the objects that they found on the moon belonged to the Anunnaki, and this is where he got out of the old boys network. So,
well, now the video that you refer to, where you have astronauts allegedly going through the ruins and videotaping as they go or filming as they go, I think there's really no question that that's a hoax.
Okay.
And I've got a video on my YouTube channel that explains that. As to, I think you, if you watch that video and listen to what I'm saying as you watch it, you'll see what I'm talking about. I think it's really clear that was hoaxed.
It could be, but a lot of the times, and I've heard them do this before, that they'd actually release true information, like the ones on the inside, and then claim it's a hoax so that very few people will actually take it seriously. You know, they'll have people go on saying, oh, that's been proven to be a hoax when it's actually the true thing. You know what I mean? Kind of a double speak kind of.
Yeah, but this has all the earmarks of being CGI. Mm. It really does. I don't doubt that there are ruins on the moon, though. I've seen all kinds of photographs, still photographs, that to me are pretty clear that there are ruins there.
And you also pick Richard Hoagland in one of his interviews. He points out that there's a glass dome there too. You can tell just by the prisms with the light bouncing off the glass.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I've seen his. I've got his DVD with his press conference about that. And it's I think, very obvious.
Yeah, indeed. And Bob Dean, of course, there's somebody with air credibility, and he flat out said that these buildings belonged to the Anunnaki, the ones who put us here in the first place.
Well, maybe they do.
Well, of course, we're never going to get any answers out of NASA or the government or the military. Of course, that's been well established.
So, well, let's just say, and I'm asking this rhetorically, but, you know, really, I'm serious in asking it. Let's say that tomorrow NASA comes out and says, yep, Bob Dean's right. That stuff belongs to the group called the Anunnaki. How does that really change anything?
I don't think it really does. I think most people, you know, already know it, and I think the media has been conditioning people into accepting this in case if some sort of disclosure like that ever comes out. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe they have. I don't know that the media's been doing that. You know, the media has been fighting to keep in place the status quo. And the status quo for the media is that, number one, there is no God. Number two, Darwin is God.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is what I'm saying is not a religious statement. But their worldview is a Darwinist worldview. And a Darwinist worldview is a closed box. That means there cannot be any God, whether you're talking about the Christian God or the Muslim God or the Hindu gods or Buddhist gods. There can't be any kind of outside interference. It's a closed box.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, a break's taking over. I got to run.
All right, take care, Kevin.
All right, thanks. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this, so do not go away. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and doing things all manually here this evening, but that's okay. There's not a problem with that. It's Open Line Live. The telephone numbers are 623-444-5889 or 888. This is the toll-free number, 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from? Okay, Paul from Rhode Island.
How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing well. Thank you, sir.
Quick observation. Now, we understand that there are UFOs, that they've been visiting this planet for years. We understand that they're also abducting people to as far back as they've been coming here. Now, some of these abductees claim that this has been going on their entire lives since, like, age 5. And it happens on a regular basis. Has it ever been considered by any group or organization to take an abductee who is visited on a regular basis and place that person in his home under observation so that when something does arrive or something does happen, it could catch it on a film or possibly audio or something like that?
I think I understand what you're referring to. Let me start to respond. If this is not what you're referring to, you correct me. You're saying, is it possible to set up video equipment so that it's monitoring a home, and then when these people do get abducted, you catch something on video during the abduction, right?
Yeah, something that's a long-term project where you take an abductee who says he is abducted on a regular basis and place him under a certain... I wasn't living with his life, but place him under observation 24 hours a day until something possibly could happen.
Well, something like that has been done. I had the guest on the show. His name is David Eckert. He captured he had a video camera running. All of the video was messed up with static and everything except for two frames right at the beginning. And it captured what we would call a gray. and he has other photographs taken from video where he's captured other types of beings in his room at nighttime while he's in bed asleep. So yeah, it has been done.
Wondering, because, you know, they say they're abducted on a regular basis. It would just seem the obvious thing to do is to observe them, wait until it happens again, and possibly capture it maybe from a distance and viewing the house, or possibly, like you said, inside the house, taking as much footage and audio as you could.
Yeah. All right, Paul, thanks for the call.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Yeah, that's that has been done, and most of the time, a number of people have tried to do that, but most of the time, what they say is, you know, the video was running, something happened, but it all turned out just static, okay? So, but in this case, David Eckert caught images of what we, I think most of us would say are extraterrestrials in his house. All right, let's go to the, and the telephone lines are open. It's Open Line Live, 623-444-5889. Or toll free at 888-223-4599. All right, I want to go to the flash messages, and let's see, here's one from South Africa. It says, after listening to your show where one caller mentioned a new movie, The Fourth Kind, I read the following article, and he puts a link there, which I do not have time to read while I'm on the air. It really gets my blood boiling when people do not want to accept the truth. I mean, this movie is based on real events, and still they have government the government officials are out trying to make a mockery out of it. Anyway, let me cool off. Thanks for your excellent show. Regards, David in South Africa. Okay, David. I haven't read that article. I will do so after the show tonight. But let me say this. It's up to you, but there's really no reason to get all upset with people who make a mockery out of the truth. It says, and I quote, it really gets my blood boiling when people do not want to accept the truth. You sort of have to adopt this view in order to get through all of this without it causing major disarrangements for you. And that is, I don't care whether people accept the truth or not. I don't care. Now, there's a level at which I do care, obviously, because I'm here and I'm trying to present information to people, and I'm trying to present the best information we can get our hands on, and then we ask the questions and let the guest answer the questions, and we try to make up our own minds then about what is truth, what is the truth about all this stuff. So there is obviously a level at which I care. But when it really gets down to it, I really don't care at another level. If I say there's oxygen in our atmosphere and there are people who say, well, I don't believe that, okay, I don't care. If I say I used to have hair and there are people who say, I don't believe that, okay. And so, you know, what other people believe really doesn't affect me much. And I'll tell you why. If you really are attached to this, I want other people to believe, what you're looking for is you're looking for them to validate your parking ticket. You're looking for them to approve of what you've said. Well, I don't think that's necessary. I don't need someone to tell me, yeah, it's okay for you to think flying saucers are real. It's okay because I think they're real too. If you don't think they're real, that's your problem. And if you do, that's what you think. And you don't need other people's approval to think. All right, let's go back to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
Kevin?
You're on the air. Your first name and where are you calling from?
This is Charles from Georgia.
Hi, Charles.
I just sent you a URL concerning the crater you were talking about NASA was supposed to make on the moon. You were correct, sir. It says a 5-mile-wide crater.
Well, see, that's even better than the story I read, because the story I read said a huge crater. But the one you read says 5 miles wide. All right, now, who is saying that it's going to be 5 miles wide? Is NASA saying that?
This is in the National Examiner newspaper.
Okay.
It says a 2-ton kinetic weapon will be launched on October the 9th this year, will literally bomb the moon, and will create a 5-mile-wide crater.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, yeah. Now, here's the thing. Richard Hoagland takes exception to some of the reports that are showing up about this. He it depends on who wrote this report. He said that some of them are making statements like that and that they're not true, that it's only going to be 55 feet across. The one that I read said a huge crater. No, it said a big crater. A big crater is what it said. So to me, 55 feet is big. That you drive your car off in that.
That's right. Exactly.
But it depends. Who wrote the article that you're quoting from? Should be right at the top of the article there. Okay, well, it doesn't matter.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Alfred Weber.
Yeah, see, he takes exception to Weber and to Weber's statements. Do you want to hang on through the break, or does that about do it for you?
I'm good. I just want to let you know that URL was coming to you.
Okay, thanks much. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's open line live tonight. That means that we'll talk about what's on your mind. 623-444-5889 is the number to call, or the toll-free number. If you can call the other number without it costing you a long-distance charge, please do. But if you need to call the toll-free number, it is 888-223-4599. If you are outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message, and you do that by going to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and scroll down. You will see a link that says flash message. You can use that to send me your comments, questions, etc. And we have a flash message here from John in the United Kingdom. It says, "Hi, Kevin, I'm confused. What are the main factors between dimensional beings and extraterrestrial beings? Is South Mountain far-fetched from Roswell, or do the powers that be want us to believe in star beings instead of dimensional shadow beings because it's good for the economy?" Well, some of it could account for space junk. South Mountain is a mountain that's here in the Phoenix area, and from South Mountain we see a lot of things in that come from South Mountain. They're in the air. We don't know what they are. Very strange stuff. Is it far-fetched from Roswell? I don't know. I don't even know what to make of South Mountain. I've seen these things in the air. I don't know what they are. So I really don't know how to answer the question. But I do appreciate the flash message. And as I say, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, send me a flash message, and we'll read it and talk about it. All right, let's go to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Rick from Kentucky.
Hi, Rick.
How you doing?
Good.
I have a question. I missed the show with Richard Hoagland, and from what I understood you said earlier, he made a statement that we don't have radar that can reach the moon or determine anything around the moon.
Yes.
Correct?
That's correct.
He's completely wrong. He's probably even looked at the radar telescope images in his studies. That's the form of radar. We've got laser radar that probably tell you how deep the craters are within inches on the moon.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I'm not picking a fight with Richard. I'm just saying that I was quoting from a CNN report, and in the CNN report, they quoted Satish, who is with the Indian Space Research Organization, and I'm quoting now. This is what they printed in the report. He said, "We are exploring the possibility of making a request to the United States and Russia to help locate it, since they have powerful radars." And then later it says that this satellite had completed more than 3,400 orbits around the moon before vanishing off the radars. So, I'm not an expert in those things. I don't know. I'm quoting from the information that was published. And but yes, he did say that. He said there are no radars that can track anything around the moon.
I think maybe he could have meant something on the backside of the moon, because that would be impossible. It has to be a line of sight. And if it disappeared on the backside, radar is not going to do any good for that.
But, yeah, could be. I don't know.
I thought that was... I know he's pretty well thought of, and I've even read some of his stuff, but that really shocked me to hear that, because I'm fairly sure we do have. Haven't seen it with my own eyes, but...
Well, like I say, I'm not an expert in these things. For me, radar is a thing that sits on the dash in a patrol car, and I know those won't track the moon, but, I do have this report, and I think it's pretty interesting, Rick. This report that I'm reading from, I went looking for it on the internet today, and I couldn't find it. I think this report's been pulled. All of the reports that are there now about the Indian Space Agency losing their satellite, none of those reports mention radar. So, maybe Satish misspoke. Maybe the author of this report, Harmeet Shah Singh, misquoted. Or maybe Satish let something out of the bag he wasn't supposed to. Maybe we're not supposed to know we have radar that can do that.
The only thing that I've got a degree in electronics, and I'm kind of rusty on it, so some things I'm not up to date on, but the only thing that limits the power of radar is how big a signal you send out, have it reflect back, and how good the receiver is that receives it. And if you've got enough power to send it out there, you could bounce a signal off Mars and map the terrain of Mars.
Mm.
Just a matter of how much power you've got to put into it. But
wow.
I guess, you know, they told us not to come back to the moon. Maybe that has something to do with it.
Maybe. Rick, thanks for the call.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin.
All right. 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. Well, I don't know. Like I said, I'm not trying to pick an argument, a fight, or a debate with Richard Hoagland. That's not it. However, since I said what I said during that show, which was I referenced radar, I thought you deserved to know where it came from, and it came from this CNN report. At the beginning of the show, I held this up close to the camera to my left here and showed you where it said CNN on it. And I can't find this report on the internet at all now. Apparently, it has been pulled. Maybe not. Maybe I failed to find it. But I looked pretty diligently. I could not find this report on the internet. I did find a bunch of reports about the Indian Space Agency losing a satellite, losing this satellite, the Chandrayaan-1. None of those talk about radar. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
How are we doing?
Good.
Good. As far as radar, I believe that, you know, because you got to have an echo. You got to be in range. The way we track that stuff is by radio tracking, almost like a bug, whatever. And plus we have those satellites, spy satellites, you know, imaging. I think that's how we keep track of that kind of stuff.
All right, let's assume that's the case. What's your opinion? How would you account for the fact that this spokesman from the Indian Space Research Organization mentions radars and this article mentions radars?
I suppose that we could have something beyond what we would consider radar. Like you said, like, you know, police radar or airplane radars that we use in close quarters. Who knows what they got, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't rule it out. But I would speculate that us and the Russians probably know exactly where or what happened to that thing. I'm sure we're keeping an eye on pretty much everything that anyone's doing. I bet they probably already have the answer to that.
So you think that NASA already knows and the Russian Space Agency already knows what happened to the satellite and where it is now?
I would speculate that certain agencies of each country probably has a good idea, you know, and has been, you know, keeping an eye on it just to see what, you know, they could get out of it. I'd feel pretty comfortable in that statement.
All righty. Well, listen, I appreciate the call.
Sure, Kevin.
All right. Bye. What do you think about the news that Germany's saying that they have a space landing mission under consideration? And they say that maybe they're going to do this, and if they do, it'll be somewhere around 2015. What do you think about that? It's not that I think it's ominous. It just adds more fuel to the fire to the question that I've been asking, and that is, what's up with the moon? Why is it that everyone that can build a rocket wants to get on the moon? What's up at the moon? So Germany is now saying they may land on the moon around 2015. I have a flash message from Mexico. This is from Humberto. Before I read it, let me give the telephone numbers out again. 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. From Mexico, Umberto writes, "Hi, Kevin. Using Google Earth and switching to Moon Viewer at," and he gives these coordinates, 25, 58, 49.46 north, 3, 31, 14.92 east, elevation 1,886 meters, you can find some kind of drawing. It is very interesting. I would appreciate it if you can comment something on this subject. Best regards. Big fan of yours. Love your show. Thanks, Umberto. I don't know. That's the first time I've heard of that. How about you folks? Have you heard of this? Have you seen this drawing that he's talking about? I have not heard of this before just now. Now, if there ever has been any kind of intelligent civilization on the moon, one would expect that you would find some sort of drawings, some sort of etchings on the walls of cliffs and things like that. But I don't know. I've never heard of this. It's something totally foreign to everything that I've ever seen, heard, or read. So this is new information for me, Umberto. And I'm sorry. I don't know. You want me to comment on it? What I'll comment is it's interesting, and I'll try to check it out when I'm not on the air. But it's interesting and surprising, actually. You know, a lot of stuff gets said, and a lot of stuff gets put out on the internet about the moon and about Mars. And one of the things Richard Hoagland said that I don't think anybody would have any controversy about, any debate about, is that one of the classic disinformation means to hide something is to realize that you really can't keep it a secret. So you mix in some fantastic details that are just too fantastic to be possible and throw the whole story out in public. All the facts are there, all the details are there, but mixed in with it are details that are so fantastic, so wild, that nobody, at least the majority of people, will not believe it, will not buy it. Therefore, they discount the whole story. Something like that may have happened last year whenever all of this stuff about the secret Apollo 20 mission hit the internet. Those videos are still available. They were at YouTube. I think they've been moved now, but they were available at YouTube. And the deal was that allegedly after canceling the Apollo moon missions. Now, one thing we know is that Apollo 17 was the last moon walking mission. It was the last Apollo mission to the moon. We know that. We also know that NASA had already paid for two additional missions to the moon. There were two more on the menu, and they were canceled. We know that. One, and the crews had already been selected. They were already trained. One crew for Apollo 18 was ready to go, and it got canceled. The rocket had already been built. Everything was ready, and it got canceled. We know that. Apollo 18 actually did fly. It did not fly under the name Apollo 18, I think. It was some other name, some other designation. But this is the one where they went up and linked up, you know, with the Russians. And so it actually flew, but not to the moon. It was a different mission. All moon missions were canceled. And they said it was budgetary problems. Well, yeah, but this had already been paid for. So, I don't know. But then there was that whole story about Apollo 20 that hit last year, remember? And those videos showed what purported to be a secret mission to the moon that was flown, launched out of Vandenberg, and it was flown by people that were not in the public eye. A test pilot was the commander of the mission. There were names that were given with all of this. There was a Russian cosmonaut and, I don't know, someone else. Anyway, they were going up to explore some artifacts that had been photographed by Apollos 15 and 17. And so, according to the story and according to the videos, there were some pretty amazing things. Apollo, I think it was 15, actually did photograph something sort of sticking out of a crater that looks like the front end of a ship. It looks like the bow of a ship. And so these videos about Apollo 20 purport to show a close-up flyover of that. And it was pretty interesting. Among those videos, there's also the a video that said that they found the body of this female. And it was just out there on the surface. Of course, absolutely cold and frozen on the moon. There's no oxygen and no weather. And so it had not deteriorated. And it was just like quick frozen. And it showed the face of this female in the video. And they, in the video, had brought her inside of the landing module. And they were filming her laying there. A lot of people said this is absolute proof. This is Anunnaki. Well, there were things about the videos that seemed to me to be faked. A lot of stuff about just the visual presentation seemed to me to be hoaxed. I talked with filmmaker Robert Kvyat. We talked about it here on the air, and then I also had several private conversations with him via telephone, and I came to the conclusion pretty quickly that it was hoaxed. But when I asked Richard Hoagland, had there been any secret missions to the moon, he said he had no real information about that, but he would suspect that there probably have been some secret missions to the moon. And then he and I both talked briefly about this Apollo 20 series of videos that came out. And that's when he said, the way you hide something these days is you mix all kinds of fantastic stuff with it that's too fantastic for most people to believe. And then you throw the whole thing out in public, and it gets rejected in toto because it's got all those fantastic details in it. Well, I gave some thought to this, and after he said that, and I thought, let's say that everything in those videos, let's say the story is 100% correct. That everything there is correct. But that the videos were CGI'd. The videos were hoaxed so that when people started looking at it, they would see the hoaxed videos, they would detect that it was hoaxed, and then throw the whole story out. I wonder. I don't know. I mean, it gets to be, it really does get to be a bottomless pit when you start trying to unravel all this stuff and trying to figure out what is the truth here. I think it's pretty evident that there are structures on the moon. And the reason I say that, of course, there are photographs of some of them that you can see. But also, there are a lot of photographs where it's absolutely obvious that NASA has airbrushed out some things out of the photographs. And when that happens, even if you can't see what was there, NASA has just screamed in your ear, there's something here, and we don't want you to see it. That's the way that works. That's the way it works. There's something here, and we don't want you to look at it. We don't want you to know it's here, so we're going to airbrush it out for you. I think there's a whole lot of mystery about the moon, and I think one of the most mysterious things that's come along in a long, long time is we have a panel that's saying to the president, there's not enough money for NASA to do a mission, a manned mission back to the moon. And we have this panel also saying, and Mars is way too dangerous. Now, NASA's been just headlong, I mean, just head over heels in development of the new spacecraft to take us back to the moon. And now it appears that those who fund NASA are going to step away from NASA. At least step away from going to the moon. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and it is Open Line Live. This is your opportunity to say what's on your mind about UFOs, about EVPs, about ghosts, about shadow people, about futuristic science, space exploration, anomalies on Mars, anomalies on the moon, whatever is on your mind about the strange and unexplained. Oh, yeah, I left out Bigfoot and Chupacabra. Anything that has interest to you, we're interested in hearing from you. The telephone number is 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Larry from Illinois.
Hi, Larry.
How are you doing?
Good.
Just a few things tonight.
Mm-hmm.
One, talking about the radar where the India lost their satellite.
Yeah.
My thought is we probably have radar units right on the moon, so wouldn't be too hard for us to track him if that would possibly be a case.
Okay, that's very possible. I know we have laser reflectors on the moon that were left by one of the Apollo missions. I'm not sure, but I think it was Apollo 16. And we have seismic instruments that we left. It would not surprise me if we have radar. You may be exactly right about that.
And we may have had it for years.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing is the fact that it disappeared it might have been passing over some areas that whoever occupies the moon or whatever doesn't want them photographing, so they just remove the satellite. So,
well,
that would be my thought why it disappeared.
Listen to this. The same report that I quoted from about that's where I got the term radar from, related to this story. In this same CNN report, it says that its mission was to take, and I quote, high-resolution, three-dimensional images of the lunar surface, especially the permanently shadowed polar regions. So it was up there for 312 days. It is entirely possible the thing just, for whatever reason, fell out of orbit and crashed.
Probably not too likely.
Not too likely, and reading from the way this report is written, it says that it just vanished off the radars.
Not surprising.
Yeah.
We, you know, somebody just didn't want it taking pictures of whatever area it was at, or it took pictures, and they just didn't want it out.
Could be. It could be. And, my question is, all right, let's assume that's the scenario. Let's assume that's what happened. All right. It was taking pictures of something that someone didn't want photographed. Okay. If that's the scenario, then the question is, who's the someone that didn't want it photographed? Is it us? Is it the Russians? Is it us and the Russians? Is it aliens? Who is it?
Maybe all of the above.
Well, yeah, you know, some of the rumors that are out there say that there is a joint U.S.-Russian alien base.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know.
I would lean in that direction. I mean, if you talk about, you know, people who are abducted, and they talk about military presence, so it would not be surprising that there's a tie-in between aliens and our government or military, whatever.
Well, there may be. There may be. Have you ever had an encounter with extraterrestrials, Larry?
No. Don't know that I want one either.
I understand. Hey, thanks for the call.
Can I do one? Say one more thing?
Sure.
Have you ever heard of Kevin Carman or Kamen?
I can't say that I have.
Okay, he was interviewed on the Jeff Renz, because I listen to Jeff Renz programs, and do you know Brad Steiger?
Sure.
Okay, well, actually, Brad Steiger brought him on as a guest, so you would be a very good person to interview if you can, you know, get a hold of Brad or something, see if you can contact this guy. But he has got the most incredible story that I'm sure everybody that listens to you would really love.
What's the guy's name again?
Kevin Kamen. And he was interviewed twice by Jeff Renz, you know, through Brad Steiger on July 10th. And again on the 24th, he had him back.
Okay, I'll give Brad a call and see if we can get in touch with this guy.
His story is incredible, unbelievable.
What is it a story about? Is it about UFOs, extraterrestrials, ghosts?
Let's say he had an experience,
mm-hmm.
And he was not necessarily abducted because he went willingly, but what he experienced was just stuff that I've never heard of.
Mm. Okay. Well, I'll give Brad a call.
I hope.
And we'll see if we can get in touch with this guy.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Take care.
All right. All right, folks. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. The 888 number is toll free. And if you can call without it costing you long distance, call 623-444-5889. If it's going to cost you long distance charges, use the toll-free number 888-223-4599. Well, there's some more hot news that's out there. It this has been this report has it's about a week old, a little over, just barely over a week old. We've all heard about reverse engineering, right? We've heard about, you know, the possibility that the military has reverse engineered downed UFOs, whether they crashed on their own or whether we brought them down. I mean, there's all kinds of stories. So we've all heard about reverse engineering. We know what that's about. What would you think about someone planning to reverse engineer birds? I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. There is a Canadian scientist. His name is Hans Larsen. He is the Canada Research Chair in Macroevolution at Montreal's McGill University. And he says he is going to develop dinosaur traits that disappeared millions of years ago in birds. So, you know, the prevailing theory about birds is that birds are the evolutionary descendants of the dinosaurs. You've seen that in documentaries, right? You've seen they say that the dinosaurs, as they evolved, became the birds. And so this Hans Larsen believes that by flipping certain genetic levers during a chicken embryo's development, he can reproduce the dinosaur anatomy. So it's like reverse engineering birds. All right, it's a different route to Jurassic Park than the route that was taken in the movies, but it is an attempt to do the same thing that they did in Jurassic Park, and that is to resurrect the dinosaurs. So I'm a little curious about this. Do you think it will work, first of all? Do you think if you reverse engineer a chicken, you'll get a dinosaur? I mean, it's going to be, just really, really surprising for Mr. Larsen if he does his experiment and he's got these eggs in the incubator, and he goes home one day after work, and the next morning he comes in. During the night, one or more of those eggs hatch. And when he walks into the laboratory, he's got some raptors. It's going to make scientific history if he lives to tell it. But it is sort of, it's not sort of, it is an attempt at Jurassic Park science. First of all, do you think that's even possible? Or do you think that this will fall flat on its face because the chickens are not descendants of the dinosaurs? What do you think about that? I watch television every once in a while, not too often, but every once in a while I fall from grace and turn on the television. And when I do this, I usually will watch a documentary. And I have seen several documentaries where the speaker, sometimes it's a scientist, makes fun of people who think evolution didn't happen. They'll make fun of people who don't buy the evolutionary theory, as if that's some sort of established fact. Well, it is not an established fact. It is a theory. And it will ever remain a theory because no one of us was around, no human was around, to observe and to record that it was happening. Of course, if it was happening, it would be impossible for a human to be around while it was happening because it took millions upon millions of years and billions of years for evolution to happen. if it happened, according to their theory. However, it is interesting that there's never yet been found a trans-species fossil. Never yet. Now, that doesn't mean that they never will. Maybe they will, but there have been billions of fossils unearthed, and there's never yet been found a trans-species fossil. So, I take exception to wholesale buying of Darwin's theory. I pretty frequently say Darwin is dead. What do you think about it? We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We just have a few minutes left in this evening's show. We have time for one or two more calls. If you've been thinking, I'm going to call, I've got something I want to say to that guy, well, now's the time. 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. If you're going to send a flash message, you likewise must do so rather immediately because we're running out of time. All right. This is pretty interesting what science, we talk about futuristic science on this show from time to time. And it's pretty interesting what science is up to. Every once in a while, we get a little glimpse into the laboratory window, and we get to see some of the kind of futuristic stuff that is going on. And one of the really futuristic things that's going on right now is what I just reported to you, reverse engineering chickens in an attempt to, instead of them becoming chickens, doing some genetic flipping some genetic switches is the way he describes it, so that what develops will be little dinosaurs instead of chickens. Now, if he's successful with this, he says it will demonstrate evolution. Well, actually, it will demonstrate devolution, taking something that is in an evolved state and devolving it back to what it was. But if you can do that, if you can move one direction, it demonstrates that it probably moved the other direction as well. So he says it will be, it's a demonstration of evolution. And he said, if I can demonstrate clearly that the potential for dinosaur anatomical development exists in birds, then it again proves that birds are direct descendants of dinosaurs. So that's the purpose behind the experiment that he's going to do. I don't suspect that this is going to work. It might. And I think if it works, then, he's got pretty good grounds for saying that he has demonstrated that evolution happened. It would be hard to debate against that. And I'm on record as saying, look, Darwin's dead. And I would still have to say, even if that happens, I would still have to say Darwin's dead. His theory of evolution is dead. There may be some other, there are actually quite a number of theories of evolution. Darwin's is just one of them and the most famous one. But there may be some theory of evolution that is accurate, but Darwin's theory is not. And the biggest, I think, two big things that put nails in the coffin lid for Darwin are, number one, there are no trans-species fossils, and number two, Neanderthals. According to Darwin, we are descendants of the Neanderthal. Way back up the chain, Neanderthal is one of our ancestors, in Darwin's theory. And yet, modern genetics shows that while Neanderthal was human, he's not in our gene pool. We're not related. It's a totally separate race of humans. Completely different from us. Looked pretty much like us. They were shorter, stockier. Looked a little bit different, but I mean, they were human. However, modern geneticists say that Neanderthal and Homo sapiens, us, are not in the, we're not in the same family. We're not related to each other. So modern genetics, because of Neanderthal, puts a big nail in the coffin lid for Darwin. Nevertheless, if Hans Larsen, he is the Canada Research Chair in Macroevolution at Montreal's McGill University, if he is successful with this, then I think he will have demonstrated that some theory of evolution is at work. Now, I don't think it's Darwin's, but some theory is at work. This is being funded by the Natural Sciences and Engineering Research Council of Canada, the Canada Research Chairs Program, and National Geographic. So it's kind of a high-profile thing. It's kind of a high-profile Jurassic science. High-profile attempt to go back to Jurassic Park. Several years ago, when genetics really kicked off, I said it's going to lead to Frankensteinish experiments. Not that I'm against genetics. I'm not against it. I'm not against genetic research or experimentation. But I was accurate in saying that it will lead to Frankensteinish experimentation. And that's kind of what this is. But I'll tell you what, I wish him all the best, and I mean it, because I would get a kick out of being able to see live, living dinosaurs. Be a little tough on his laboratory, but I'd get a kick out of it, and I think the whole world would, and I hope he's successful. I have my doubts about it. I don't think, we'll see how accurate I am. I'll go ahead and say that I don't think you can flip some switches in the genetics of a chicken and cause it to not become a chicken but become its ancestor, because I don't think the dinosaurs are the ancestors of the birds. I really don't. I think the birds are the birds, the dinosaurs are the dinosaurs, and I don't think that the dinosaurs are ancestors of the birds, but we'll find out. I'll try to keep up on this. I'll try to follow the experiment and keep you informed on this. If I happen to forget about reporting on it, don't hesitate to ask me about it, either in email or during one of our open line shows. Best way for you to send an email to me is to go to my webpage and use the contact page. I know there are people that don't want to do that. I get over 500 emails per hour, and they are 95% spam. That happens 24 hours a day. And in order for me to make sure that I get your email, I have constructed the contact pages so that they get through our spam filters. If you just send me an email, you've got less than a 50% chance of it getting to me. If you just send it without using the contact page. The contact page has some special coding that gets the code gets you through our spam filters. So as much as I also do not like to use contact pages, I prefer just to send email to someone. It really is necessary in order for me to get your email, because I'm not joking. We get over 500 per hour, 24 hours a day. And guess what? We have to have some very, very vigorous spam filters. My guest tomorrow night is Judy Varnes. She is with MUFON here in Arizona. And we'll be talking about MUFON and what's happening in the skies above Arizona. You don't want to miss it. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.